I don't like this forest. It's dark and it's creepy, and it's getting darker and creepier. I'm afraid of lions and tigers and bears. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. Lions and tigers and bears.
Put him up. Yeah. Yeah. Put him up. Why, I could take all of yous on with one paw behind my back. I could do that. Yeah, I could. I could take all of yous, I think. Yeah. And I could take all of yous with me standing on one foot. I could do yeah, I think I could do that. But I know one thing for sure. I could take all of yous on with my eyes closed, that's for sure. I'll get you, you little pipsqueak. Hey!
Stop it!
What'd you have to do that for? I didn't bite him.
Well, it's bad enough you're taunting all these lunatics. Now you're picking on a little dog.
Well, you didn't have to hurt me, did you? She didn't have to hurt me, did she? I mean, no. No. Is my nose bleeding?
Oh, of course not. Wow, you are making such a fuss. You're nothing but a great big coward.
You're right. I am a coward. I haven't got any courage at all. I even scare myself. Look at the circles under my eyes. I haven't slept in weeks.
Okay now. Why don't you try counting sheep?
That doesn't do any good. I'm afraid of them.
All right. I've got an idea. You come with us to see the wizard. The scarecrow, he's going to get a brain. The tin man, a heart. The wizard could give you courage. I'm going to get away home.
Well, wouldn't you feel kind of like degraded to be in the presence of a cowardly lion? I would.
Of course not. Now, come on now. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right.
Oh, dang.
The wizard will make it all better. Everything's going to be all right.
Well, you know, it's been really, really, really hard. A terrible life. I've been holding this in for so long. I think I got to tell you about my feelings. Is that okay?
Come on. Yes.
My stroke. Yeah, it's sad, believe me, missy, when you're born to be a sissy without the villain boy. I could show you my prowess, be a lion, not a mouse, if I only had the knife. That's right, sing along. I'm afraid there's no denying, I'm just a dandelion, a fate I don't deserve. I'd be brave as a blizzard, so show me to the wizard if I only had the noise. That's right.
You know, it turns out you have courage. I can see it already.
Really? Well, that's wonderful. Maybe we should go see the wizard. Let's go see that guy. Okay,
we're off to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz. the cowardly, courageous lion, everyone. Oh, what fun we're having on this series, huh, on the Yellow Brick Road. So last week we met with the Tin Man who was, you know, reaching or learning about the fact that thinking he didn't have a heart, but actually as we began to tap the capacity of the heart, we realized with the power of CG&E, remember that one? Childlike innocence, gratitude and empathy, that food for the heart, that we could indeed tap that great capacity of heart. And really, courage is yet another aspect of heart. In fact, in Latin, the root word for courage is cor, which means heart. And so it is from the heart that we find our bravery, that we find our courage to go on, to do big things, to express ourselves, to realize our dreams, whatever it is that's up in our lives, to be our truest selves, really, ultimately, is the courage we're talking about. That self-realization that is a key part of this journey, this awakening journey to Oz. This is our fourth week in the series. So if you're just joining us, you've got several more weeks. We have 8 weeks for our series. And if you didn't get a chance to join a study group, you can actually be studying along with us. We're using the book, The Wizard of Us by Jean Houston. And there's a study guide that goes with that that the groups are using, but you certainly could use that for self-study and journaling and contemplation. So those are both the book and the study guide available in our book center. So today we're talking about courage, that full power, that confidence, that sense of who we are and what we're about, and the ability to speak our truth, to stand strong, to move through obstacles, to transform fear, is really what the key essence of this whole sense of the spiritual quality of courage. I mean, we see it with the lion, right? So much fear is present for him. And it's so funny that it's funny in the way that we humans are funny too, in that the fact that Dorothy and her friends are basically affirming their greatest fear with the lions and tigers and bears, oh my, right? So that chant keeps running through, and before you know it, what, lo and behold, out pops the lion, right? So it is in our co-creative third principle of unity that whatever it is that we focus on and that we continue to let be that recording that plays over and over again in our minds, or maybe even that we speak, and pretty soon we go ahead and manifest that fear. You know, the universe just listens to whatever it is we give it. So it's like, oh, whatever you're magnetizing, that's what's going to show up. So if it's, oh my, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, lions and tigers, or whatever it is that you're, I kind of doubt that's typically yours, unless you're out in the back 40 here, and there really are bears and lions and other things to be afraid of, not so much tigers. But so what is it, though, in your life, what is that tape that plays for you? Are you aware of it? And when you become aware of it, what do we do with it when we become aware of it? That's the moment when we can transform, right? Where we can ask, instead of what we don't want that we're affirming, what it is that we do want. And so maybe it's courage that we want, like the lion, but then courage to do what? What is the ultimate of what it is that we want to bring forth, that we want to manifest, that we want to be? And often it's just being the essence of who we are, right? The unique soul being that we've come to be, and that divine characteristic, that divine essence that we all share. So we're all the same in our divinity. We're all the same in our Christ-like nature. And we're all unique in our soul expression. And when we get down to the base of those things, we really are in that flow. We are in that flow of exactly where most of us want to be, a place of happiness, a place of joy, a place of ease, a place where life clicks along and works, a place where we feel like we're really on our purpose and serving in the ways that we want to serve and having the kinds of relationships we want to have. We're at home within ourselves, within our interactions, and with what we're doing in the world. Thank you for the extra. Kind of an amen there, in his own way. So what would you do if you only had the nerve? If you, you're going to ask that one? If you only had the nerve, right? If you ask yourself that, that almost automatically raises you up because you're in that space then of vision and possibility and making possibility a probability and then a reality. So we kind of up-level things even by asking ourselves those kinds of questions. Where do I want to be in a couple years? What would I do if I only had the nerve? You know, what stands in my way? And then you have your long list of limitations and you can go, none of that's really true. You know, when we're standing in a place of confidence, when we're standing in our ruby slippers of our full capacity, that's what these are, in case you're just joining us. The ruby slippers represent our full capacity. And so you can, you know, when you put your flip-flops on tomorrow, you can think, I'm in my full capacity shoes, walking out into the world, right? And to remember that these simple ways, these physical kind of rituals that we do are simple ways that we can bring ourselves back into the alignment of a brave heart, of a courageous one who is being themselves and being the divine in the world. It's what we signed up for. I know you might have forgotten. I forget, and then I remember, but you know, it is what we signed up for. And so it's like when we fear our transformation, it's kind of a funny thing, because it's like, well, isn't this what we're all about? Isn't this why we come to church on Sunday and why we do the classes and the work and the spiritual practice? Because we want to be the very essence of who we are. We want to remember and embody and be that with every breath and every interaction and every movement we have in the world. And then when it comes time, we go, I kind of like my comfortable life, right? I'd rather keep the lid on here where it's just sort of known and comfortable. But courage blows the lid off, doesn't it? You know, Dorothy, you know, she dreamed somewhere over the rainbow and boom, she was in another realm. Welcome to Oz. Things are a little different here, Dorothy, but it's going to be scary and fun, exciting, and a wild ride of the unknown popping out in every turn. And yet great friends and companionship and love and joy and evolution is all going to happen there. So we can stay safe and comfortable, or we can get courageous and burst through to that next level of who we are, which is really just a shedding of what stood in our way. It's all already right there, you know, in truth. So I like when Gene Houston talks about how the lion does all these things that are like he speaks honestly and he sort of, you know, pummels through his fear to act courageously throughout the rest of the movie where he, you know, where they finally get to Emerald City and so on. And she says, and he does all these things shaking in his fur. You know, a successful person has never succeeded in the absence of fear. Do you know that? It's only in the presence of fear that we succeed. And so when you think, you know, when you start looking at people who you admire, or you see these great things that people are doing in the world, and you think, oh, well, never me because I'm too afraid. Believe you me, they've had fear to deal with. And the more we sort of up-level how we are showing up in the world and impacting in the world, the more that kind of stuff can come back to us. But the stronger we are from the inside, the more fitted we are into our ruby slippers, the more assured we are of who we are and what we're up to, that nothing can shake that anymore. Because we know, we remember, we're in our spiritual authority, and we have the courage to take the next step and the next step through the unknown forest of whatever is coming our way. So we can do, when we come upon our fears, we can do basically what Dorothy did. You know, what did Dorothy do with the lion? I mean, first of all, she had to face her own fear, right? And what caused her to face her own fear was just a simple understanding of justice. I mean, it just kind of burst through her. There's Toto, and he's vulnerable, and so it is out of that caring for another and not taking this bullying stuff that she jumps in and stands up, right, for Toto. and anybody who can't defend themselves quite the same way. And so it gets her out of her fear immediately. Sometimes that's what it takes for us, is to look out into the world, especially if we've been, you know, too busy, you know, kind of navel-gazing here. And so it's time to kind of look out into the world and go, wow, it's a big wide world out there, and I could speak up or stand up or give a leg up or hand up to somebody else. And it breaks us out of whatever that cloud is that we were in. And so for Dorothy, it's like she's not even aware of her fear now. She's busted through it, and she's in that place of speaking the truth, of standing in that place of courage. And that place is also a place where we say courageous things like, I love you, and I forgive you, and I apologize, I made a mistake. Those kinds of vulnerable things are really the essence, aren't they, of moving through our courageous nature. You know, the old school hero's journey, and the one that we all know so well that Joseph Campbell talked about and that we see in all the movies and the books often, is the one of the hero, the very masculine kind of energy that is physical, and it's, you know, slaying things, and it, you know, I think of Harrison Ford going, you know, over the bridges and through the, you know, the rat tunnels and all that kind of stuff. And sure, that takes a lot of bravado, right? But Dorothy's story is the heroine's story. It's the journey of our times. It's the kind of courageous hero or heroine's journey that calls us to share our feelings, to ask for help, to collaborate with one another. I remember once being on the side of the mountain at Machu Picchu. I had brought a group of people to Peru, and we were working with a shaman, Jorge Luis Delgado, and my sister went on the trip too. And my sister is sort of standing there for like kind of my history, right? And I've always done crazy things like jump out of planes and walk across coals and all kinds of things. And it's not that I wasn't scared to do those things, but my fear was a different kind of fear. So we're doing this exercise where Jorge, the shaman, would hold our feet or a little bit of our legs and our feet, and we would arch over this rock out into a canyon. And the idea was that we'd be like we were flying, you know? So you're like a condor upside down at the mercy of this man holding your feet, you know, hanging over this rock. It was magnificent and a bit scary. And my sister's watching me, and she goes, man, she goes, I don't think you have any fears. And I'm leaning back and I go, oh, yes, I do. I'm afraid of intimacy and relationships. And I tell you, I felt so free. I felt so free in that moment for putting my fear out there and to put it out in front of my clients and this teacher and my sister and, you know, God and everyone, literally, you know, out into this canyon. It was the most freeing thing. So it's often those fears. You know, a lot of us in our culture are used to the rugged individualist way of being. It's the asking for help, the sharing our feelings, the need to do it together, not go it alone and tough it through, that is actually the most courageous thing that we could do. It's the kind of courage that's called for now. I mean, maybe there was a time when we had to survive and we were out there in the woods, you know, doing the kind of bravado of the classic hero's journey. But most of us, that's not our everyday lives. I mean, once in a while you might have those experiences, but our everyday lives are really like on this billions of peopled planet dealing, right? Dealing with everyday life, with the bombardment of information, with the media and the politics and the craziness and the ways that we mistreat each other and the whole crazy thing. We signed up for it. Do you know that? We signed up to be here right now. We have a soul contract to be here right now. And to be courageous, it's not about leaping through canyons. It's about opening this and saying, I'm sorry, I love you, I forgive you, I'm scared, can you help me? And when we do that, we build a courageous, a brave, an amazing world together because we network with one another and we listen to one another and we build bridges with one another. That's the whole thing about, you know, this just amazing, iconic film ahead of its time in 1939, where our heroine is an adolescent girl and her friends are made of straw and tin and a lion, and she's got her little dog and she's braving her way to find her way back home. That's the kind of heroine or hero we need today. And it's in all of us. It's in all of us to bring forth that kind of energy that says, come on, friends, we can do this together. We are as different as could be, you know? The diversity in The Wizard of Oz is awesome, you know? The lion is a mammal, and so is Dorothy, but you wouldn't imagine a lion and a 13-year-old girl linking arms and skipping down, you know, the yellow brick road. And the scarecrow's animated and made of straw, and the tin man's made of tin, and he thinks he doesn't even have a heart, but he's the most loving, kind, sensitive soul you could ever meet. It's fabulous, isn't it? And it's our lives, too. It's not just fantasy. I mean, look around your own life. You'll find a scarecrow, and you'll find a tin man, and a lion, and a Dorothy, and a Toto, and then look in the mirror and see they're all there. They're all there. We are all of them. We are the ones who forget that we're courageous. We are the ones who forget that we're brave. We are the ones who are shaking in our fear and drying our eyes with our tail and supposed to be the brave king of the forest. But you know, the king, what the lion misunderstands is he's got that old paradigm running. When later he talks about being king of the forest, he thinks all his subjects will be bowing to him. And he's talking about that old school authoritarian rule. Those days are over. I know some days it doesn't feel like it, but but it's not where we're headed anyway. Maybe there's a last hurrah of that kind of understanding throughout the world, of that kind of dictatorship. But it's falling. It's falling with its last hurrah, because the courageous souls that are all of us linking arms in our beautiful diversity and in our imperfections. You know, Dorothy doesn't do it perfectly. She swats the lion. She calls him a coward. I mean, we don't really, you know, hold that up in the light, but she's doing the best she can. And then what does she do? She dries his tears. She says, come on, it'll be all right. She gives him some encouragement, some upliftment. She sees the truth in him. You are courageous. I can already see it in you. That's what we offer each other in the courageous journey that we take together. When we own it, we own our courage, we own our confidence in all of its messiness. You know, even through our fear, not in the presence of fear, or in the presence of fear, not in the absence of fear will we succeed. And so it's knowing the fear is there and then just sort of, well, hello, fear, you know? And even talking to yourself, oh, honey, you know, you're kind of afraid right now. Just like having that sort of, almost that sweet kind of empathetic, like you were talking to a child, to talk to yourself. And when we do that, then as we embrace it, as we, it begins to dissipate, doesn't it? Because we've given it the arms of light. We've given it the essence of love. And then the fear is like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm all right. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay always. Everything always works out for us. You know that? Everything always works out for me. That could be something you work with when you bump up against these moments that feel like you freeze in the courage or in the fear that's presence. Or you could use old Emmett Fox's golden key. Anybody remember that from the early days of New Thought? Emmett Fox would say, you know, we've kind of made it a verb. You can golden key the situation. But what it is when you find yourself thinking troubling thoughts or fear or whatever it is, you notice that and you shift over to start to think about God. That's the whole key. So you notice whatever is troubling you and shift and start to think about God. Well, how can we do that for ourselves? We can just drop in, right? You notice and say, oh, wow, I'm in that fear again. I'm worrying about that again. I'm in that lions and tigers and bears, you know, oh my chant. And so then we just breathe. Try it right now. Just move to your heart and just notice what's here. Ah, there it is. There's the presence. I'm now aware again of the presence of God that is always here. I'm now aware that I am that presence, that presence brings me comfort. That presence brings me encouragement. And so we just refuel ourselves in that presence. When we're in that presence, there's nothing to think about the future, or nothing to worry about the past. It's only right now, and everything's perfect and whole, and beautiful, and you're loved beyond measure, and you can be then that love in the world. A breath, just a breath, brings us back. A breath brings us that grounding again in our courage to be ourselves. So wherever you may be going along the journey, one other piece that you might take with you is just a little bit of inspiration. So while you're kind of in this meditative place, I'll just invite you to close your eyes again if you hadn't. And see if there's an image of a child or somebody who you really care about, whose future you care about, somebody who you want to always be protected and want to succeed in life. And maybe even somebody you don't know that comes to mind. But whatever that image is, allow it to be your inspiration. Allow it to be your creative muse when you're starting something new. Or allow the image of that being to be the one who you dedicate your spiritual practice to. When you have a hard time getting to setting aside time to meditate or to pray or to do your practice, dedicate it to that being. Do it for them. If you can't do it for you right now, do it for them. Let them be the one who continues to inspire you, because we're not in this alone. And that will continue to fuel us to stay the course, which takes courage to stay the course sometimes. Along the yellow brick road, the lion becomes more and more himself, the tin man himself, the scarecrow himself, and the Dorothy herself. I think Toto was always himself. He wasn't. You know, animals just get it. They don't worry about stuff. Totally present. But as that happens, we just recognize that, when we rest in the truth of who we are, when we relax into who we are, when we stop trying to be someone else. I just watched that movie, Eighth Grade. Anybody seen that? It's really well done, and just a little forewarning, I felt like an anxious eighth grader from start to finish. But I watched it on purpose because I wanted to tune in to see what's happening with eighth graders these days. And it really is pretty much the same thing that happened when we were seventh and eighth graders, except their social media, which is like a constant, right? And so this young woman is posting these self-help videos that she really needs for herself, because we all teach what we need to learn. And so she posts these, and she's not very well liked at school. She's not in the in group. She's very quiet. And so she puts these messages out there about being confident, and how to win friends, and then she practices it. So she like braves through her courage, and with courage, and goes up to the popular girls and tries to make connections. And you know, and often they're rude to her. And so you know, then it brings her down into the dumps. But at the end, she meets a young boy who's totally himself. And you see for the first time her completely relaxed, the phone's nowhere to be found, and they're just connecting, and she's just being who she is. And it's so beautiful. You know, it's so simple in a way, but a lot of times we're kind of like middle schoolers again, aren't we? We want to fit in. We want to, you know, or whatever it is. We're sort of hiding the truth of our authenticity in some way. And so it's moving through that, moving through all that that stands in our way, breaking through to the truth. You know, it takes a lot of courage just simply to be here. So give yourself a pat on the back that you came, that you said yes, that you were incarnated this time around, and you're doing this courageous walk through this lifetime in whatever form you've come in. And that too, you know, is all part of the divine plan. So love it exactly as you are. Let's look at this quote from Jean Houston that really, I think, sums it up nicely. The most courageous thing you've ever done is to agree to be born on this planet. Congratulate yourself that you've made it to this point in your life. You couldn't have done it without courage. In fact, you are courageous every time you get out of bed in the morning, put on your clothes, and head out the door. It is a profound job to be here. It's true, right? Give yourself a pat on the back or someone a pat on the back for just the courage, the guts to be here. And let's close out with an affirmation together that is about our originality and our courage. I am fully, courageously original me. Let's say it again together. I am fully, courageously original me. And so it is, and so you are.